Hello, everyone. It's Bill Thompson, T-Bill, and welcome to Plain Market Talk, where I will provide a straightforward interpretation and analysis of current market news based on my background as a retired Wall Street stockbroker with almost 50 years of experience. And I will also provide business lessons to help you become much more successful with your personal finance, trading, and investments. So let's get started. Hey everyone, it's Bill Thompson, T-Bill. Welcome to Plain Market Talk. Today is Thursday, April 11, 2024. Okay, it's 10:39 in the morning Eastern Time. Markets are basically flat at the moment after being down yesterday. We've got some inflation reports coming out, so we'll talk about that. Also talk about something you don't hear a lot about, what's called supercore inflation. So what does that measure? So we'll talk about what that is, why some analysts are still thinking though inflation will be coming down over the next few months. So we'll see what some of their reasoning is. Had a winner of that big Powerball, over $1.3 billion up in Oregon. So today I'm going to talk about something I talked about in the past. You know, if any of you are lucky enough to win a lottery, certainly hope you would. What's the right way to handle lottery winnings? In my stockbroker days, we certainly dealt with lots of lottery winners. So we'll see what's going on with that, see how the markets are doing overall year to date. Today, I'm going to continue on with talking about investing in index mutual funds, concentrating today more on the Standard & Poor's 500. So we have that also. Okay, as far as the markets right now, they were down yesterday, but basically flat right now. We got the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 0.52%, S&P 500 down 0.19%, NASDAQ Composite up 0.26%. We had the Consumer Price Index report come out yesterday. This looks at inflation from the consumer, the buyer standpoint. And it was showing that inflation was running at an annualized rate of 3.5%, quite a bit higher than 2.5% we'd seen previously. And that rattled the market somewhat. Now, one thing to know about that report, though, is that it is subject to quite a bit of revision, moderate levels of revision, I would say, and is just one of several inflation reports. Now, we had another report come out today, the Producer Price Index. This looks at things from the seller standpoint, and it came in for the month of March. It looks like up 0.2% for the month, which is an annualized around 2.4%. Less than the 0.3%, that was the estimate. So you got one coming in higher than expected, another one lower than expected. Now, the one the Federal Reserve tends to look at the most will come out later this month, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Index. So we'll take a look at that. But so we got that news out there. We also have a number that you don't hear a lot about. It's called the Super Core Inflation Report. First of all, what is core inflation? Core inflation is you back out food prices that are affected more by weather than anything else, and also energy prices, oil. Lots of things go into oil, a lot of politics involved, just lots of things. Well, anyway, what super core inflation does, it also backs out housing, what people pay for housing each month. And another day, I'll talk more about the reasoning for that. So that's something that I've seen a lot of traders are now starting to focus on. And so that's called the super core inflation report. So you might see that being mentioned more. We'll talk about that more another day. But anyway, the reason some of the financial firms, as well as traders, are anticipating inflation may come down, some of this inflation we're seeing is related to higher oil prices. See, oil goes into everything from obviously fuel, but also packaging, just all kinds of stuff. And the OPEC nations, it's anticipated they're going to have to start increasing production of oil. Basically, they need the money. And so that will most likely start to bring prices down somewhat and bring inflation down. As far as interest rates, the anticipation had been the Federal Reserve will begin lowering interest rates starting in June. A lot of traders think now that won't happen until September. But the reason that's significant, if anybody's looking to buy a home or refinance a mortgage, that would be affected by a decline in interest rates from the Federal Reserve. So we have that news out there also. Okay, so yeah, we had a lottery winner up in Oregon, won $1.3 billion. Here's the thing about that. You know, I've talked about this on previous sessions. You know, when I my stockbroker days, we dealt with a lot of lottery winners, and sometimes you hear about, you know, people won the lottery, they lost it all, they ended up, you know, one guy was, I don't know, they found him living in a dumpster or something. You know, people find their lives are just nightmares after this. Everybody's after them for money and their safety is at risk. Yeah, those certainly do happen. I think those tend to be more the exceptions, though, that because somebody that, you know, wins a lottery, you know, quiet lives a quiet life afterwards, it's not going to make the news. But yeah, basically the way to do it, if you win a lottery, first thing you do is take a picture of the ticket front and back and then email it to yourself, proof you have the winning ticket, but do not sign the ticket. That's an important point. Contact an attorney first, a law firm that deals with wealth management. They will advise you what to do, whether it's okay to sign the ticket or not. The reason, in some states, you can set up a trust, especially if the ticket has not been signed, and the trust will win the lottery. It keeps your identity secret. So that would be, that'd be an important point there. But yeah, an important point is not to draw attention to yourself. You know, if you have a job and you just want to leave your job, don't go in and tell everybody off. That just attracts attention to yourself. Just put in a normal 2-week notice. And basically, if they ask you where you're going, so I'm going to go back to school in the fall. And if they ask what you're studying, they said, well, business, just something general. And I haven't decided where I'm going yet, but just something just very general like that. You know, one reason to have an attorney also, you know, you're not going to be able to hide from your family and friends for too long that you've won a lottery. They're going to notice a change in your lifestyle. Although we did have one lottery winner years ago. I remembered this. He 2 years after winning Powerball, his family still did not know. He wasn't really that close to them, and he lived in a different city. And I guess he had various reasons not to let them know. So I guess they hid it from them. But you know, your family will generally notice. And, you know, if they start coming to you for money for these wacky business ideas or whatever, and it's not something you want to get involved with, just have the attorney be the person to say no. Say, look, that sounds like an interesting idea, but, you know, worm farm or something, but, you know, grow little worms for fishermen. But run it by my attorney. They say everything has to go through them. I don't know lawyer stuff. And the lawyer will be the bad person, say no to everybody. So anyway, that's one thing to do. Yeah, and as far as, you know, you probably move to a neighborhood that has, you know, security, guard gates and so forth. Because, you know, if not, your neighbors start noticing, well, you know, you got an expensive car parked in the driveway. What's going on? But yeah, in these neighborhoods, you know, most people, everybody else has money also. And so most people don't inquire too much about where you got your money. But if they do, how'd you make your money? Don't say you made it in the stock market, because then they all want investment advice. Just say you made it, your family's involved in shipping. Believe me, nobody wants to talk about shipping. We're involved in shipping. Matter of fact, we have some exciting developments coming with storage containers. And you just see the lights go out of their eyes. They can't wait to leave. But that's basically how you do it. Oh, yeah, we also used to recommend always take the lump sum settlement. You're going to pay the maximum tax anyway. And we could reinvest that money at a fairly low returns, all we'd have to get to equal the 20 years of payments. Okay, so that's that. Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. Main thing is contact an attorney like right away before signing the ticket. They'll let you know what to do. Okay, what else we got going on here today? I saw a survey that Apple virtual reality headset, the one that's like $3,500. The sales have been low, and Apple expected that at that price. Turns out, during surveys, people that are interested in it are overwhelmingly saying they're more interested in it from entertainment. You know, being able to watch movies on a virtual big screen, 3D, less interested in business applications or playing video games. And I know that Meta, you know, Facebook has found out with their headset too, that that's a lot of what people like to do, other things besides play games, and not as much interested in using it for business things. People say, well, I'll use my laptop for that. So anyway, we had that out there also. Let's see. I think that's the main thing I wanted to talk about. So, oh yeah, the markets. Talk about the markets since they were down yesterday. One thing about the stock markets, you know, I've talked about this in the past. The market tends to overreact to everything. It just does. I've been following this stuff for decades. Yeah, it's like that, you know, family member or friend that you might have that overreacts to everything, and then they eventually calm down, and that's the markets. I mean, yesterday they were acting like it was the end of the world, and today the markets are basically flat again. But I'll give you some numbers here. Yeah, and you can use whatever search engine you like to use, you know, Google, whatever. Just type in stock market YTD returns year to date. I tend to use MarketWatch when that comes up. Pretty easy to use. But yeah, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, down 0.83% for the last five trading days, but year to date up 1.55%. Now, one thing to remember about that, though, that's only 30 stocks. The more broad-based Standard & Poor's 500 stocks, 501 to be technical, that is actually up 0.13% for the last 5 days, but year-to-date up 8.06%. So overall doing pretty well there. And then we have the NASDAQ Composite, or the broad-based index. That is, let's see, last 5 days up 1.12%, year-to-date up 8.11%. Yeah, the S&P 500. Okay, so what this is a attempt to measure the overall stock market. We have about 6,100 stocks that trade between the New York Stock Exchange and the electronic trading system, NASDAQ, 2,800 New York Stock Exchange, 3,300 on NASDAQ, sorry. So what the S&P 500 is, it is the 500 largest, 501, but we'll call it 500, 500 largest publicly traded companies in the United States, and for the most part, the world. Publicly traded means it has ownership shares, stock owned by the general public. Here is where you will find the world's largest corporations, Walmart, Amazon, Apple, just all the rest. Even though it's only 500 stocks of the 6,100, these stocks in total value make up 70% of the U.S. stock market. See, here's the problem with buying individual stocks. Which one are you going to buy? Yeah, everybody thinks, well, yeah, I could have bought Amazon 20 years ago, or NVIDIA, which has been all, you're going up quite a bit lately, or Apple. Yeah, you also, you know, you go back 20 years, we'll say 25 years, 1999, some of your safer bets back then might have been companies like JCPenney's that now have lost like 99% of their value. You know, you go back 30 years, the big retailer to invest in would have been Sears. It's just symbol S, New York Stock Exchange. There were predictions that was going to go on to become the world's largest company. At the time, 30 years ago, General Motors was the world's largest corporation. And it was anticipated by many Sears would eventually become the world's largest corporation. And today, the world's largest corporation actually is a retailer. It's Walmart. We measure company size by their yearly sales, and it's Walmart. They are the world's largest. And Sears is just about out of business. You know, the obvious major mistake Sears made, possibly the biggest mistake in business history, is they didn't go on the internet. They already had their Sears catalog. They knew how to, you know, they knew how to deliver things to people. They knew inventory. They knew all of this. And they had the retail stores also. So all they really needed to do was take their catalog and put it online around 1995. And today they probably would be the world's largest corporation. But they just sat back and watched Amazon come take the entire market from them. But anyway, but here's the thing. Knowing which stocks to buy is a problem. The other problem is, to be fully diversified, it's been found that you probably need to own stocks in 15 different industries. 1-5 seems to be the magic number. More than that doesn't seem to really give you much of a benefit. And most people buy stock 100 shares at a time, and let's just say it's a $50 a share on average. Well, that's $5,000 per investment times 15. That's $75,000, and you're just getting started. And now, when you own individual stock, you're always getting bombarded with messages from the company because you're an owner. They want you to vote on this. They want you to vote on that. You got to keep track of this. It's just a lot to keep track of, 15 different stocks. Now, some people love this. It gives them something to do. They absolutely love it. But for many, it's like, no, I really don't want to be doing that. So what they do instead, they will invest in mutual funds. Now, mutual funds are where your money's pooled together with other investors and buys a collection. It could be stocks, bonds, combination of both, as well as other things. One key is what's called an index fund. And this is a mutual fund that simply buys the stocks that make up an index, like the Standard & Poor's 500, which is different than an actively traded fund where you have portfolio managers, as they're called, buying and selling into the markets. So on the next session, I'm going to talk more specifically about the Standard & Poor's 500 Index. This is considered the most broad-based measure of the stock market. I'll give you a little bit of its history, where it came from, and how these mutual funds tend to work and why they are so effective. But that'll be for the next session. Also, why the financial industry doesn't really want to tell you about it. But we'll talk about that on the next session. So hope everyone's doing well. This is Bill Thompson, T-Bill. I'll talk to everybody again soon. Take care. See ya.